Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Zayin. I'm an Aleph, six lines from the top. We continue Be'ezer Hashem, discussing the halachos on the Tilos Yadayim. Amra Papa Haya Risa de Daloi. And Risa de Daloi is that they had a body of water, which they directed that water through picking up through a pail that they took the water from the pail, from the body of water into the pail, and then dropped that water into a ditch. Says the Gemara, "Hai ris deloy, if you have that pail, ain't noitl man yadayim. You can't stick your hand into the ditch for netilas yadayim. Deloy osu mekayach gavra, because the issue here is that the water isn't coming because somebody poured the water on your hand. And the halach is, if the water is not coming because somebody poured the water on your hand, then it's not an acceptable netilas yadayim. As Rashi points out, however, we're referring here to a situation where this ditch does not have 40 saw of water. Because were the ditch to have 40 saw of water, as we discussed in the previous year, just by putting your hand into the ditch, it would be acceptable. Furthermore, there are Rishonim that say it would not be acceptable. The Bahag takes a different approach. The Tosfos calls the Bahag that if you put your hand into the pail, it would be fine. Here we're talking about that the pail is not coming, being the water from the pail is not being poured on your hand. Why is Koyach Gavra so important? So I saw three explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation that I saw the Rishonim suggest, the Ravid says this, as we're going to learn later in our Shia today, Chazal were very careful that you have to use a revius of water. And the way they make sure that you're using revius water is if you pour it directly from the keli onto your hand. Another pshat that I saw is that, and Aruch HaShulchan expounds on this pshat, is that we know that Shulchanu Shel Adam Doim El Mizbeach. The table we sit on is like the Mizbeach. And we know that before the Kohanim did the Avodah, they had to be Mekadosh, Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did it 10 times, had to be Mekadosh his hands from the Kiyur of a Kanoi. And there it came from human work, so that's why Koyach Gavra is required. Another pshat I saw in the Rishonim is that whenever Hazah is done by somebody actually sprinkling the water. So Koyach Gavra is required, so here too Chazal said the Koyach Gavra. However, v'mikra of legab davla, if you put your hand right next to the pail, the ka'asa b'koyach gavra, so now somebody picked up the pail and poured it, then noitlim min yadayim. It's acceptable. So the Rishonim ask, of course it's acceptable. What's the chiddush here? So the Rashba, and it's a Rashba I spoke about in the previous show, says as follows. The Rashba says that for netilas yadayim, you have to have kavona. So here, the person who's pouring the water, he has no kavona to pour the water on your hand. It's only you, who your hands are being washed, that has that kavana, and teaches us, the Gemara says, the Rashba, that even if the person pouring the hand doesn't have, pouring the water doesn't have kavana, but the person whose hands are being washed has the kavana, it's considered acceptable. Furthermore, says the Gemara, then b'ziya davla, if this pail has a hole, the size of kainas mashka, the size that water can seep through, may for life, it connects the water from the original source to the water in the pail, and then matbas yadayim, you could put your hands into it. What's the chiddush here? The chiddush here, explained Rishonim, is that because you have this hole, we have what's called in halacha, those that are somewhat familiar with Hilchos Mikvos, a nitzuk. A nitzuk means a stream of water connecting the water in the pail to the original source, and whenever you have a nitzuk, the halacha is that for netilas yadayim, it's good enough. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, our Gemara uses the size of a hole of Kaines Mashka. So the Rishonim say there are actually three size holes in Halacha. One, which those that are somewhat familiar with Hilchos Mikvos, know the size of a Sheferes Hanoid. Sheferes Hanoid means if you have two pools of water, one is a kosher mikvah, one is not, if there's a hole connecting them, it becomes a kosher mikvah. How large must that hole be? Kishferes Hanoid. Kishferes Hanoid is that you could put two fingers in and move them around. This is a smaller shear. Kainas Mashka is a smaller shear to be connected. But the Rishonim say we're going to have in a moment another time that the Gemara speaks about Koinus Mashka. And that's a whole to disqualify the Keli that's used to wash your hands. That's even a smaller hole than this. And says the Gemara indeed, Vama Rava Keli Shanika Bekoinus Mashka. If a Keli has the hole the size that water could seep in, ain't night dime, you can't use it for Natilas Yadayim. So the Mepharshim discuss how do you know if it has that hole? So some Rishonim say, if the hole is so big that water is constantly dripping out, that's already considered a problem. The Gemara Masechta Nida, however, gives two other ways of doing a test. The Tana Kama Masechta Nida says what you do is you fill up a big pot of water and you put the small, this keli that you want to see if the hole is a problem, push it in and see if water seeps in. The Gemara says that that's a difficult approach because the pressure of pushing the keli into that full pot of water will cause the water to rush in. So then the Gemara says what you should do is just the opposite. Take this keli that you don't know the size of the hole, put it into an empty pot, upside down, and then fill up that pot with water and see if water seeps into the hole. If it does, the hole is too big. Otherwise, it isn't. Here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. So the Gemara clearly tells us that if the keli has a hole, it's disqualified. The question that comes up is, let's say the hole is not on the bottom. And we're going to learn in a moment that the shear you need to have is a revius of water in the cup. It's not really that many ounces of water. So let's say you could have a revius in the cup and the hole is on top of that. Does the keli become disqualified? Because once it's a keli with a hole, say, some rishonim, it cannot be used. Or only if the hole is so low that you can't have a revius of water. But if the hole is above the revius level, it still will be kosher. Rama Rava, and indeed says Rava, as we just learned, keli she'ein by revius. If the keli isn't large enough to have a revius, ein nitl min yadayim, it can't be used for netilas yadayim. Ask the Gemara, eini. So here we say that it has to have an actual revius. But ask the Gemara, Rava said elsewhere, keli she'ein machzik revius. If it doesn't hold the revius, ein nitl min yadayim, it's not good for netilas yadayim. What does this seem to say? Ha-machzik, if it holds the revius, afagav the lespay. Even though it doesn't actually have the water in it, as long as it's large enough, it's good. Answers the Gemara, loikasha. Ha-lechad, ha-letrei. For one person has to have a revius, for two people not. So posh pshat in the Gemara. Posh pshat in the Gemara is as follows. That if you start off with revius, and the first person, that's what you have to start with. So it has to be a keli that could hold a revius and actually have a revius in it. If the first person washes his hands and then the second person uses the leftover water, then it's fine. That's Pashup Shad in the Gemara. So there's a number of different approaches that the Rishonim take to this Gemara. One is that some Rishonim say, like we just learned, as long as the keli started off with a revius, it's good enough. But then there's an obvious question. Yes, the certain person used the leftover water. If you have so little water, how could it be kosher? It's not enough to cover your hands. So some Rishonim say it's still fine. Other Rishonim say it's not to say that it's not fine. You're going to have to bring more water. But the water that you left over, you could start with. And then bring more water to properly wash your hands. Other Rishonim disagree. And they say that if somebody washed his hands and the second person wasn't there at all, and then he comes and he finds a keli with leftover water, that isn't considered shiari tahara. It's only acceptable if the second person was right behind you, waiting to wash his hands when you were washing your hands. And the Ramban has a whole different approach to the Gemara. The Ramban's approach to the Gemara is that the second person has his hands under the hands of the first person. The first person is washing his hands and that water drips down on the second person. That's when the Gemara says it's fine. The Tanya, and the Gemara indeed brings a brisa to this point. Why? Because as long as you start with revius, it's fine. Continues the Gemara. Were you careful that the keli should be whole, that it should be a real keli? Yes. Achazusa, were you careful that it should look like water? Should have a clear look? So here we have a number of interesting shailas in the Paiskim that we say the halacha has to be clear. Why it has to be clear? Firstly, there's Machlekes Rishonim. Some say because we learn it from the water of the Kiyar. I mentioned that earlier, that the water of the Kiyar had to be clear. Although from the Rambam, it doesn't seem that he holds that way. Other learners from Hazal, that whenever you spritz water, it has to be clear. The Rishonim debate, what happens if you have water? This happens with water. If you leave it out, after a while it changes color, it gets greenish. Can you use that water? Some Rishonim say fine, and some say Rishonim not. What is the basis of their machlokes? It's clear if the water changes color because of an outside factor. You pour coloring into the water, everybody would agree that that water is not good. The question is, if it changed colors because it was left out, is that considered that it changed colors because of an external factor, and therefore it's not kosher, or that's natural, it's not considered an external factor? Another question that the Rishonim debate is, what's the halacha on fruit juice? Fruit juice, that's its natural color. Will fruit juice, that its natural color is a color, but not because you colored the water? Certainly if you colored water, it's not good. But if it's style of fruit juice, that is its color, what will be the halacha? Some Rishonim say you always have to use clear water. You can never use anything but water. Other Rishonim say you can use fruit juice, but only if it's clear fruit juice, like grape juice that's clear, not purple. And others say that if that's its natural color, not that it changed colors, it's acceptable. I saw interesting shayla. We used to see this in the water. I don't recall seeing it recently. That when you used to pour the water out, it came out cloudy. And then afterwards, it cleared up. Can you use the water while it's cloudy? The Miches Yitzchak says, you should wait for the water to clear up. Because the Gemara says you have to have clear water. Revis. Amalei, Ashirei, were you careful that there should be a revius? Amalei in. Yes. Ikadamri, but there's another version. Hoch Amalei. Amara, that it should be a whole keli, vachazusa, that it should be clear liquid, kabdinin. Ashirei, like kabdinin. He wasn't makbid under revius. The Tanya, may revius not mena yudayim, vafilu shnayim, which seems to indicate that you don't have to revius. Says the Gemara v'loihi, but it's not really a proof. Because as we said before, Shani Hossam, the way we interpreted the Braisa, it's referring to a situation, Bishum the Kosma Sharatara, where the first, we start with Revius, and it's the leftover. But to start with a less than a Revius, it could be everybody would agree is unacceptable. Says the Gemara, asking Rabbi Yaakov in the Harp Koid, not Labas Reviosa. He had a cup that carried a Revius, that everybody should know to measure the cup next to that cup to know they have a Revius of water. Similarly, Asmer of Ashi, Behutzel, Kuzabas Reviosa. So Pashup Shat, what the Gemara is teaching us is that they want, that the Keli has to have a Revius, and that's why they had a standard measuring cup of Revius, they should know what is a Revius. Others say what he's trying to teach us is an important halacha. The halacha here is that you can't, you'll say, I'll use a Revius, but I'm going to take two half Revius in. Says the Gemara, you have to have a Revius to start off with. Vamarov, Megufis Chavis, Shetikna, if you have the cap of a bottle that you turn into a receptacle, it could be used for Netilas Yadayim. So as Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara that this cap was not originally designated to be a receptacle. It was just used to be a bottle cap. You cut out the inside, now it's a receptacle, that makes it kosher for Netilas Yadayim. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says you're talking about a bottle cap that has in it a receptacle. However, Tosfos says what happened here was that when you put it, it doesn't have a flat bottom. So when you put it on the table, it'll be wobbly. And what the Gemara is teaching is that if you flatten out the bottom and now it could stand stationary on the table, you could use it for Netilas Yadayim. Tanya na mihachi, begufis chavis, shetikna, not many yadayim. Chemis v'kfisha, different type of leather bags, shetiknon, that were made to hold liquid, that you turn them into receptacles to hold liquid, noitlen and yudayim. However, sach v'kupa, if you have a sach v'kupa that weren't meant and still are not meant to hold liquid, abish makabum, even though theoretically they can hold liquid, a noitlen and yudayim cannot be used for netilas yudayim. And the question that comes up at this point, that many poskim discuss, and it comes up quite often, is can you use a disposable cup for Netilas Yadayim? Because Agamar clearly is teaching us that you have to have a keli. A keli, you have to use a mana. And the question is a disposable cup considered a keli? Same question comes up for Kiddush, but we're speaking about Netilas Yadayim. It seems from what I saw in the Paiskim, they feel that l'chatchila, you should not use such a plastic cup that is disposable, but b'dievet, if you have no other cup available to you, it's a cup that's holding the revius, and you can use it for Netilas Yadayim. Although I did see that the Paiskim make an interesting observation. Again, if you don't have a regular cup that we use for washing the hand, but you have a plastic cup, and you have a styrofoam cup, you're better off using a styrofoam cup. I saw for two reasons. One is because the styrofoam cup could hold hot water and cold water. A plastic cup could only hold cold water. And it's clear in our Gemara that the fact that a cup is sturdy is the proof that it's more of a keli. And certainly a styrofoam cup is sturdier than a regular plastic cup. And it's better if you have a choice, you don't have a regular cup to use, you should use a styrofoam cup. Ibarluhu. Ask the Gemara now. Ma'al lech b'mapa. May one use a towel to wrap his hands around instead of Netilas Yadayim? Micha shirim, must we be concerned d'monaga that he's going to touch the food? Or lo? So certainly as the Rishonim and as those who are familiar with the Gemara Masechta the Brachos and Aloch and the Shulchan Aruch say, we're not referring here to a situation where no water is available. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if no water is available, and it's within a ravine, it's within a mill, unless it's more than a mill till you can get the water, and it's not part of your traveling, you're not obligated to look for water, you can wrap your hands in a towel. Here we're referring to a situation where water is available to you, but for whatever reason, you don't want to use the water, you just want to wrap your hand, is it acceptable or not? Toshma, there's a Mishnah, Masechta the Sukkah. Mishnah Masechta the Sukkah says, we know on Sukkahs, we have to eat in the Sukkah. Says the Mishnah, when they gave him food smaller than a beya, there's a machloikis, how much food must you eat to bench? Rameya's opinion is a kezayis, a bread. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a kebeya. So he, as the Rishonim say, obviously agreed with Rabbi Yehuda that you only bench for a kebeya, not l'bemapa. He ate the food by wrapping it in his hand. Va'achle chutz l'sukkah, and he ate a chutz l'sukkah, ve'en ma'arach achrov. Why did he eat a chutz l'sukkah? Because an achilas arai is mutter chutz l'sukkah, and eating less than a kebeya, he considered an achilas arai. My love, what is the diik we can make? Ha'kebeya, had he been given food the size of kebeya, be'ayin etilas yadayim, then wrapping wouldn't be an option. So it seems that wrapping your hand is not an option. So that's not the raya. Duma, what he meant to say was that if he was given food the size of a kebeya, by sukkah or by bracha, then it would not be considered an achilas arai, and he has to eat in the sukkah. And then it would be considered enough food that he eats that he's mechuyev and berachas hamazon. But wrapping may always perhaps be acceptable. This is a very important issue, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when you wash your hands for bread, you have to make sure that you're going to be eating kebeya bread. So let's say somebody washes, and he's not going to eat a lot of bread. He's only going to eat a little amount of bread. He's not eating a lot of bread. So the question is making a bracha on Netilas Yadayim is a question of bracha levatala. So if somebody knows somebody even has a shaylah, because suffer brachas lahakal, that he's going to be eating less than a kebeya of bread, he should wash his hands, but not make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. Toshma, so we still have our question. What is the halacha if you wrap your hands? The Shmuel Ashkechei L'Rav, Shmuel met Rav, the ka ochel b'mapa, that he was eating with his hands wrapped. Amalei, Avdel Kedin, are you acting appropriately by having your hand wrapped? Amalei, dat the ketzarilai. It's not to say that I didn't wash my hand. Rav said I washed my hand. What happened here was that even though I washed my hands, I'm an istinus, and therefore I don't want to get my hands dirty, so I wrap my hands, even though I, of course, washed my hand. So there's no raya. Says the Gemara, Kisolok Reb Zeira, Ashkechinel Rav Ami Rav Asli, to Ka'achli Bebavli Chamosos, that they were eating with their hands wrapped with leather. Amma Trey Gavri Kavasaychu, two such great individuals, Litta B'Rav Shmuel, should make a mistake and believe that the reason Rav ate with wrapped hands was because rapping is an acceptable alternative. Hadati Ktsara Kamar. Rav clearly said it's not that he accepted eating with wrapped hands. What he said was that since he's an Istanis, he wrapped his hands, but he certainly washed them first, says the Gemara. But they made an error. Kushta Mitzi, he forgot Hadat Marafta Chlifi Barvima Mishmul, Hetira Mapa Lechle Truma. They were Kahanim who eat Truma, and Kahanim are careful to eat Truma always but Tahara, and therefore for them wrapping the hand is enough. But other people who aren't eating truma, aren't kahanim, and don't have that level of zehirus of being careful, can't just rely on wrapping the hand. However, here is a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara is saying that for kahanim who eat truma, wrapping is fine. But now the question is, you're a kohen, but you're not eating truma now. You're eating regular food now. So will the halacha for you be that you have to wash your hands? Because you're not eating truma. Only when you're eating truma can we be lenient because we know you're being careful. Or since you're such an individual who's careful because you got accustomed to being careful when you're eating truma, so even when you're eating chulin, we could be lenient with you. Machlokes Rishayim. Says the Gemara. Ibar Luhu. Oichel machas machel. Somebody's eating the food, but he's not eating himself. Somebody's feeding it to him. So if you're not eating the food yourself, somebody's feeding you the food. Tzach natil yadayim al nai. Do you require to have natil yadayim al nai? Says the Gemara. Toshma, that Rav Huna bas Chayra have a koi kamed Rav Hamnuna. Rav Huna bas Chayra was standing in front of Hamnuna. Bolam lay umtsa. The way most Rishonim say, this is the first sandwich we find. Bolam lay umtsa means that he had a piece of meat. Umtsa means meat. Bolam that was hidden. Why was it hidden? Because it was in between two pieces of bread. Others say that it was a piece of meat that he was dipping the mashka. And we discussed in the previous year, we all know from the Seder, that the tibula b'mashka requires natilas yadayim. But we're going to learn Pash Pashat in the Gemara that he was eating a sandwich with bread. Vachel. And he was eating it with wrapped hands. Amalei ilav d'Rav Hamnuna at l'sfinalach. If not that you were the great Rav Hamnuna, that I know that you're careful, I wouldn't let you eat this way. My tama. Obviously, he was careful because he was being fed, and he is a person that was careful not to touch. So we see that everybody else, who we can't be so sure will not touch, even though he's not eating himself, he's being fed, she has to wash the hands. Says, well, that's not the story. Loi, the Zarus Kadam Mashiach de Mekara. What happened with Rav Nuna, not that he didn't wash his hands because he was relying that he's not going to touch the food because somebody's feeding him. He washed his hands. He just washed his hands before he got to the meal. But of course you have to wash your hands even though you're not touching the food. And Rashi makes a very important observation here. We know that there are two types of people. There are people who are zoyer. I guess in our world they would be called frum. They're careful. And then you have people who are zoris. Zoris is that you don't want to rely. You're energetic to do what's right. And Rashi says Al Gemara teaches us that zrizis is more important than zahiris. And therefore, Rav Hamnuna was really a Zoris, and of course he washed his hands before he came to a meal. Toshma. So we still have our question. Our question, the Gemara's question is, if somebody's not eating himself, he's being fed, does he have to wash his hands? Toshma, the Amrav Zeira Amrav, Layitin Odom Prusla Toy Piv Shal Shamish. A person's not allowed to put food into the mouth of a Shamish, Elm Kain Yedei Bashinot Yodav, unless you know that the Shamish washed his hands. So from here we see that you're not allowed to serve a person food if you didn't wash Natil Shadayim. Are you feeding him? You have to be concerned that he's going to touch the food. And actually this Gemara opens up a very important question. The question is, let's say you have a guest in your home and he's not going to wash Natil Shadayim. Are you allowed to give him food? Because are you allowed to give him bread? He's not going to wash without Natil Shadayim. And then there's another question. We'll connect the two questions. Let's say somebody comes to your house for food, and you know he doesn't make a bracha. Are you allowed to give him the food? So the paiskim are lenient. Why? Because they say the mitzvah of tzedakah and the mitzvah of chnasas archim supersede. And let's try to understand why. Number one, it's not really a situation of lifnei evil esita mishul daraisa. Why not? Because the only time you have lifnei evil l'sita mifshel d'oraisa is in a case where the person wouldn't be able to get the food without you. Let's say the person that you invite to your home for a meal doesn't need you for a meal. He can get the food elsewhere. So that's called trei avad in hara. So it's never d'oraisa. Furthermore, there's always a chance that he'll make a bracha if you tell him to make a bracha. And the mitzvah tztaka, the mitzvah chaknasas archim, is also a mitzvah d'oraisa. And therefore, you could give him the food. Here, we're talking about a case where you knew he didn't wash his hand, so that's why you shouldn't give it to him. And the halacha is, v'shamish v'varcha kol kais v'kais. Every cup of wine that he gets, he has to make a new bracha. Why? Because he doesn't know that he's going to get another cup of wine. And since he doesn't know he's going to get another cup of wine, when he made the first bracha by Pri HaGafen, he didn't have in mind any other cups. And therefore, he has to make a new bracha in every cup. But here we have a very big machlaikis of the Magen Avraham and the Taz, very relevant to halacha l'maisa. Says the Magen Avraham, while we're halacha, and this comes up very often, especially if you're a guest, and you don't know the menu, what you're receiving. You get food, and you make a bracha. Whatever bracha, mezainis, hadama, and you don't know if you're going to get any more mezainis, or you're going to get any more hadama, or you maybe yes going to get. So when you make the bracha, you say, if I'm going to be getting more food that the bracha is mezainis, or if I'm going to get more food that the bracha is hadama, my bracha that I make now should be effective on it. Is that do you have to make a new bracha? Magen Avraham says you don't have to make a new bracha. Because that intention that you had is good enough. Taz says no. Your intention, he says, is only acceptable when you know for sure that the food is coming. When you don't know that the food is coming, an intention that is intangible is not a valid intention. Continues the Tanakama. Ve'en mevarcha kol prosa prusa. Bread. He's sure he's going to get plenty of bread. He makes a bracha on every. He doesn't have to make a separate bracha on every piece of bread. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevaracha Kruel Prusa Prusa. Comments from Papa Bishlam the Rav Rabbi Yochanan, where one says you make a bracha on every piece of bread, and one the waiter makes a bracha on every piece of bread, and the other one says not. Loi kasha. Hadik Adam Chashev. Hada loi Adam Chashev. If there's Adam Chashev, he doesn't. If there is Adam Chashev, he doesn't. If there isn't the Adam Chashev, he does. What's the difference if there's an Adam Chashev or not? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation the Rishonim say is, an Adam Chashev knows that he has to serve his guest. He has to give his waiter food. So the waiter knows that the Adam Chashev is going to make sure that I get what to eat, and therefore his bracha on the first piece of bread will work for all the other pieces of bread. If there's no Adam Chashev, so he doesn't have anybody to make sure that he's going to get all the bread that he wants. Another pshat that the Rishonim say is that when you have a meal with an Adam Chashev, so it's prepared elaborately. So there's enough for the waiter as well. If there isn't Adam Chashev, it's not prepared that elaborately, and therefore the waiter is concerned. Mikom Akam, what do we see from here? Hakam Elm Ken Yadeh Shnat L'Yadav. I can't feed the waiter, says the Gemara, unless I know he washed his hands. Why? It was saying that if I feed you and you're not touching the food, you don't have to wash. Isn't this a raya that you do have to wash even if I'm feeding you? Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. Shani Shamsh Tarit. The waiter, because he's really preoccupied with doing his job, he may accidentally touch the food. Anyone else who doesn't have a job to do, he could pay attention and perhaps he doesn't have to wash his hands. So the Gemara speaks about the waiter for a moment. Toshma Tan Rabbanan Loyitan Adam Prus L'Shamish Bein Shikos Piyadoi Bein Mikos Shiyad Balbayis. Don't give him food, whether he's holding a cup or whether the balabais is holding a cup. What's the concern? Shemir davika kol basuda. What's the concern? If you give the waiter a cup when he's holding food, we're concerned that he's going to spill it and ruin the food. The balabais, you shouldn't give him when the balabais is, because the balabais may be upset that you're giving the waiter the food. And if he has food in his mouth, he may choke. And therefore, you shouldn't give him. However, the Rishonim say, this is only for the waiter. That means, if other guests are sitting by the table, and the balabais is there, I shouldn't serve the waiter, because the balabais may not want the waiter to get. But let's say, am I allowed to give from my plate to my neighbor? I am. Why? Because we were all invited. And the balabais presumably wants us all to eat, and therefore serving it to my fellow table mate is fine. Ibaluhu, another question. a new question. So from this Gemara, it clearly seems that the person eating has to wash his hands, even though he's not touching the food. What would be the halacha the other way around? I'm serving you. I'm not eating. I'm just feeding you. Do I have to wash my hands or not? Tashma, the Tanna de Bei Menashe, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Isha Madir, as you da acht b'mayim, a woman on Yom Kippur should wash one hand from the sanest possible not cotton and give the food and then serve her child the bread. And the Brisa continues, there was an episode, he wanted to be careful and Yom Kippur didn't want to touch food and he didn't want to even wash one hand and give it to the child. So we see that even though they're not actually eating, it's Yom Kippur, they still have to wash the hands. On Rabbi, it's not a raya. Hasam shem shifsa. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Many Rishonim learned the Gemara that they were talking about negavasa, the water that we wash in the morning. And Yom Kippur, we don't wash that water, that negavasa, but now we're touching food, and food is not allowed to be touched if you didn't wash negavasa. That's why they said you have to wash your hands. That's how many Rishonim learned. Taisus disagrees. Taisus says that of course you have to wash negavasa in the morning, even in Yom Kippur. Every day you have to wash negavasa. We spoke the other day how much you have to wash, but you have to wash negavasa. Besides the negavasa that they washed, before they served children food, they used to wash the food, they used to wash their hands, because the hands had a ruach ro of shifsa on them. That's the Gemara discussing, do you wash on Yom Kippur or not? Tashma, Davud Shmuel Ashkechel Shmuel Kabachi. Shmuel's father met Shmuel crying. Amar, my kabach, why are you crying? So it says, the Machin Rebbe. My Rebbe hit me. Amalei, amai. So he asked him why. Damalei, because my Rebbe hit me. The Kasafis Levroi. I was serving his son food for like a Moshe Shadei, without washing my hand first. So his father asked him, and indeed, Vamailei Moshe, why don't you wash your hands first? Amalei, who achol? He should eat Vanam Shanim, and I should have to wash my hands. I don't have to wash my hands if I'm not eating. So Amalei, so his father commented, Lemastaya Deloy Gomer, your Rebbe isn't a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't know the halacha that if you're not eating, you don't have to wash. And not only is he not a Talmud Chacham, but he adds insult to injury, Mimcha Nami Machi. He even hits you. Vilchasa, and the halacha is, Oichel Machal, if somebody is eating, even though he's not feeding himself, Tzorach Natil Shidayim, he should wash Natil Shidayim, Machal, but if somebody's feeding somebody else, and it's Tzorach Natil Shidayim, if he's not eating himself, Natil Shidayim is not required. But like I said, that has nothing to do with Negavasa, which raises a very serious question. If you give Ashgacha, or if you have a bakery or any factory where workers come in contact with food, if they didn't wash Negavasa, you're not allowed to eat the food we're learning. So what are you supposed to do? Are you allowed to eat food from a bakery or from any place that you can't be sure that the workers wash negavasa? So, of course, firstly, the Paiskim all say that even though we know when we wash negavasa, we wash six times, once in each hand, you can recommend that negavasa, washing your hand once, is good enough. So what's the halacha? So the Paiskim take a lenient approach. Firstly, the din of negavasa only applies by Jews, not by goyim. So if the workers are goyim, there's no problem. Secondly, it's most common that people, either when they get up in the morning, they wash their hands, especially after they use the washroom. There, if you have a sign in the bakery or in the factory, don't start working without washing your hands. Or if they wear gloves, all of these reasons, you can be makel, and it's enough of a faker to be makel. The Pais can also say one more interesting point. There's a very famous episode with the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, who was the son of the Count Potocki, who was burnt al Kiddush Hashem in Vilna, because he was Megayer. And there are Paiskim that indicate that after he was killed at Kiddush Hashem, the Ruach Tumah that comes in the morning got weaker. And therefore we can be more lenient. That's why some are more lenient, that they don't leave Negel Vasa right next to the bed, for the same reason, because that Ruach HaTumah got weakened after that famous story. Says the Mishnah, Tzor Adam, Basar Gvina B'mat Hachas Achas, a person can leave meat and cheese in one wrap, in one package, without Shalei Negem Zev Zev, unless they don't touch each other.
Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Aimer, another halacha. The Gemara will discuss these halachas. Shnei achsnoim oichem al shulchan echad. Two guests could eat on one table. Zeh basa v'zeh kvina. One dairy, one meat. Ben chashin. Ask the Gemara. Here we're saying that you keep meat and milk, meat and cheese in the same package as long as they don't touch. Ask the Gemara. V'chinoi geh zeh b'zeh may have. Even if they touch, why should it bother us? This is a cold piece of meat, and this is a cold piece of cheese. Amar Abaya, neh the klip lebay. If they're both cold, we don't have to worry about blias, but adachem mi lebay. So we have to be careful. So the only way we can be sure is not letting them touch. Say to Rishonim, if that's the case, let's say it's a raw piece of meat. Well, nobody's going to cook a raw piece of meat without washing it first. So we need not be concerned. There we could have the meat touch the cheese as well. Two guests can eat on one table. Says the Gemara, they can eat on the same table if they don't know each other. If they know each other, usher. Because we're concerned that the familiarity will cause them to take from each other's food, and I'm eating meat, and you're eating dairy. Two guests that came to one inn, Zabam and Atof and Zabam and Adarim, different locations. Zabam Chetichasai, this one comes with a piece of meat. Zabam Gavinasai, this one comes with a piece of cheese. Eichlin, Shulchanacha, they can eat on one table. Zabasa Vezag Gvina, Ben Chashin. Vloy Asru, but the only time Chazal were concerned, Avo Elbet Fisa Achaz, only if they're eating it together. Ask the Gemara Tficha Achas Al Kedata, who's eating meat and dairy together? Ella Kain Tfisa Achas. Only if they're like together, where they're very familiar. But if they're not familiar, then they could eat meat and dairy on the same table. What is the halacha if they're familiar? So now we're saying that they can't eat on the same table. What is the situation that they can't eat on the same table? So the Paiskim say, number one, they shouldn't be using the same tablecloth. They should have different tablecloths or different table mats. And you have to have a hecker. You have to have a hecker to be a simon that this is something that reminds them, I can't mix with you because I'm eating dairy and you're eating meat. What is considered a valid hecker? What is considered a valid hecker? So the best hecker is a hecker that's normally not on the table. If you put something on the table which is normally not on the table, that's considered the best type of hecker. That's why a loaf of bread, the halacha says, is clearly not a good hecker because bread is on the table. Could food be a hecker if it's not bread? It's a machloikas apayskim. Then I saw another interesting machloikas apayskim. The halacha is that when a couple, a husband and a wife, when she's a nida, the same halacha applies, that they should not eat at the same table unless there's a hecker. But the halacha also is that let's say there's a couple who's the husband and wife, and she's a nida, but there are other people at the table. So the halacha is that's good enough. The Paiskim debate, is that also good enough for Basa B'cholav? That means, let's say you and I are friends, and we're eating on the same table, but there are other people on the table besides the two of us. Is that good enough, that will be a hecker? Or do we have to have a hecker? Other people is not adequate to be a hecker. Then there's another interesting shaila in the Paiskim. Here we're talking about a case where the two of us, they were friends, and one's eating dairy and one's eating meat. And with halachas, you have to have a hecker. What about I'm eating on my own table? And I have on the table dairy and meat. There's nobody else here. And I put a hecker on the table. Would the hecker work, even though there's nobody else here? Some paiskim say no, that the Gemara is speaking strictly in a situation where you have two separate individuals. But one individual should never have on the same table milchigs and fleishigs. All the Paiskim say a hecker is a hecker, and it's always acceptable. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Rav Yemir B'Shalmi Labaya. What happens if you have Rechman Al-Tzlan, the following situation? Shnei Achim, you have two brothers, but Makbidim Zelzeh, they don't get along. Mahu, what will be the halacha? So on one hand, the fact that they don't get along should be a raya that there's no worry. On the other hand, they're brothers. Amrlai, so he answered with a Gemara Masechta Pesachim. Yomikolas Rikim Asurim Vesirib Baisis Matarim, which means as follows. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim teaches us, and this is the halacha, the matzah should not be made into different forms and molds. Why? Because The concern is that while you're turning the matzah into a different form, it will turn into chametz. What about, says the Gemara, if you have an expert baker, that he could turn into the form and won't become chametz? Is he allowed to make matzah into form? Says the Gemara, no. Why? Because they're going to say, this, people don't know that this form was made by an expert, and this form will be made by somebody who's not an expert. Same here. Not everybody knows that these two brothers, unfortunately, don't get along. So they're going to say, these two brothers don't get along, they do get along, so Chazal made a general rule, it's always awesome. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're learning. L'tameich. Had Amar Vasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is, laundry may not be done on Chol HaMoed. Why are you not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed? Because Chazal didn't want that people should purposely leave over to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. So you can't do laundry on Chol HaMoed. However, the halacha says, the Gemara Masech HaMoed Katan, Misha En Lai Chaluk Echot, let's say somebody only owns one suit, Mutal Lechaps B'Chol HaMoed. Now the question is, why? Yom HaKol HaSurik Masur V'Surik HaSpais Matarim. Somebody seeing me do laundry doesn't know I only have one suit. So why should we not be concerned that people are going to make the mistake that if I'm doing laundry, the halacha is obviously allowed to do laundry. Answers the Gemara, Hasa Ma'amar Ma'ar Rav Ashi Izur Mechich Lav. There it's obvious. The way it used to be was that people had more than one suit, but their suits had a belt around them. Belt, they only had one belt. So what they did was, if they changed suits, because they washed one, they put the belt on the other suit. But a person, Rahman Slan, who only had one suit, when he washed the suit, he washed the belt also. He doesn't have another suit to put the belt on. So the fact that he's washing the suit with the belt is a riot that he doesn't have any other suit. So people will realize that this person is a unique individual that unfortunately only owns one suit. But everybody else, but by the brothers, nobody has a way of knowing that these brothers don't get along. Or by the matzah, nobody has a way of knowing that this matzah was baked by an expert and by this wasn't. And that's where there we have to be machmer, and by Chol HaMoed we could be makel.
Is that your Gemara?